Tonight I want to talk about a little bit. When we read those first few verses, they were all bad news, but you have to hear the bad news before you can hear the good news. Why do we fight? Why do we not get along with each other? Well, the reason is because we want the wrong things, we ask for the wrong things, and then if we get the wrong things that we ask for, we're not satisfied and we want more and more. But that verse we read, the last one, verse 6 of James 4, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." We talk about God's grace a lot. God's grace is the reason we get to get saved. It's we understand it the best that we can, but it's unmerited favor. It comes from God. So it's something that we don't deserve, that we didn't earn it, and we couldn't make it on our own. It's not something that we could replace by ourselves. It's something that only comes from God. It's God's grace. He's the only one that can give it. And we don't get it because we deserve it. We get it because God has shown mercy to us, and his mercy and his grace. The Apostle Paul said, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And that doesn't make sense to us because we say you get what you deserve. You know, we try to teach our kids that. You reap what you sow. But God's grace is something undeserved, unmerited favor. I'm going to use the next few verses as my little outline about how once we accomplish the first part, we figure out why we have wars and fightings among fellow Christians and among people that say we believe in God, we believe in God's grace, then how do we get closer to God? How do we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil? And the answer is the next few verses there in James chapter 4. If you want to picture tonight a tug of war, we didn't have a tug of war at the carnival today, but God's grace and our lust, we're in the middle. And God's grace is all-powerful. It's everything that we need, but our lust can be consuming, our desire to sin, to turn away from God, to instead of resisting the devil, to follow after the devil, can be overpowering if we let it have that power in our life. And it's a tug of war, and like Pastor tells the story of the two dogs fighting each other, the one that wins is the one that you tell sick 'em to, and the tug of war, the one that wins that tug of war is not the most powerful because God gave us a free will. It's not necessarily God because we have to follow what he says. The one that wins that tug of war between the devil and God's grace is the one that we pull with, is the one that we decide we want to follow. And the way we decide is by submitting ourselves unto God. That the word wars, we get that word talk about being aggressive and argumentative and fighting. James talked about a cycle of conflict, okay? So we create a problem, and then we react to the problem that we created, and we get angry, and then we make the problem worse. Some of the strongest language in the Bible, in verse 4, he says, "Adulterers and adulteresses." God uses the picture of marriage to describe our relationship with him. So when we turn away from that relationship, that's the definition. When you break a marriage covenant, that's what it is. It's adultery. And God says, "See it the way that I see it. When you turn away from me, you're leaving that which you love and chasing after that which you have heaping lust upon yourself, and it's adultery." So first we have to deal with those selfish desires. We have to confront them in our life and say, "I'm never going to get close to God the way I want to be unless I acknowledge the fights I keep getting in fights with myself based on my desires that are not godly, based on my wants that are not what God wants me to have, and based on my turning away from his grace." Again, we don't understand God's grace. If we understood it, we'd never turn away from it. But it's available to us. And it's not just saving grace. It's not just, "Thank God I'm saved, and it's because of God's grace." It's living grace. It's every day. The only reason we get to be a Christian when we're saved is because of God's grace. And the only reason we get to tell other people, "Hey, I'm a Christian," and represent Christ is because God continues to give us that grace. Pastor talks about it in a marriage ceremony. He's not going to give you everything that you need when you say, "I do." He's not going to give you the forgiveness and kindness and patience. God's going to go with you on that journey, and he's going to give you what you need when you need it. So we get to become a Christian because of his grace, and we get to represent Christ and be Christ-like because of the grace of God. Forgiveness, love, the fruits of the Spirit, only because God continues to supply that. So we have to acknowledge our lust and our fightings and our wars get in the way of our submitting to Christ. But then we're going to look at verse 7. This starts the outline. Well, how do we get How do we continue in good works? How do we say, well, if God's giving more grace, how do I get everything else out of the way so I can receive it? But he giveth more grace. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. So the first one, number one, submit. Submit yourselves, verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That word means to accept or to yield to a superior force. It's not a sign of weakness. I was thinking about men and women that go into the military. They have a superior officer. They have a commander. They have all the way up to the commander-in-chief. They have somebody has given them a mission to accomplish, and they are not weak or it's not a sign of weakness for a person that's following their commander to follow the orders that they have given. I remember in college we had a guy that was, I think he was in the airborne, and he had a sermon he would always preach called Charlie Mike. Charlie Mike, it says, continue the mission. He said, until you hear otherwise, follow the orders that you've been given, continue the mission, and do what you've been tasked to do. Submit. It's not a weakness. It's saying, I recognize God knows more than me. God is stronger than me. God's plan is better than my plan. So I'm going to submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's the first one. The second one is resist the devil, to withstand the action or the effect of. The devil is a real person. The devil has power. He can have power in our life if we allow him to. And our resistance is to say, I'm not going to let the fact that the devil is real and the devil is after me going to change how it affects my life. I'm going to struggle against it. The way that we resist is to struggle against it. And it says if we resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Acknowledge that God is in charge. And then resist the devil. We can't be neutral. And Pastor says this when he's trying to tell somebody, preach the gospel. He said, you can't make no decision. You can't say, well, I'm not on the team Satan. I'm not on the devil's side. But I'm not necessarily on God's side. There's no neutral position. There is a choice in making no choice. And as Christians, there's still a choice in no choice. There's still a choice in saying, well, I believe the devil's real, and I believe God has a will for my life, but I don't feel like following either one. Well, you've already made the choice to follow the devil, to not resist him. We can't be neutral about it. The Bible says we're to resist him. Peter talks about it when he talks about that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We have to resist him on purpose, just like we have to follow Christ on purpose. The only way to handle the devil is with the word of God. Jesus was the example of that in Matthew chapter 4. You remember the story. The devil came to tempt Christ. He had been fasting. He was weak. But his answer every time was, it is written. Jesus quoted the word of God to the devil. When I was a kid, tens of years ago, when I was a kid in Bible school, we'd sing, resist Satan, he will flee, he cannot defeat you when you quote the Bible, he will flee. And we'd sing that over and over again, and they'd pound it into our heads, and I still have it 30 years later, we'd sing that song, resist Satan, he will flee, he cannot defeat you when you quote the Bible, he will flee. And the devil cannot have an answer for the word of God. When Jesus said, the scripture, when it is written, Jesus answered him. The only way to defeat the devil is with the word of God. And we're getting ready for Awana, going back to school. If we're going to use the weapon that God has given us to use against a powerful being, if we're going to resist the devil, if we're going to use that weapon, we should have it available to us. It should be in our memory. We should know at least where to find it. Brother Don and I always talk about the Bible quiz. He goes through the inner reaches of his mind, and he ponders it every week. Dad gives another question, and he can't think about anything else until he finds the answer to that Bible quiz. I use a different tactic. Usually, I give up after a few minutes and type it into Google and try to figure it out. But you got to at least know where it is, as he knows where it is, or you got to know where to find it. You got to say, well, I should know where it is, but I'm going to look it up. My son Aaron is in Brother Clyde's class now, and he's teaching him how to use a concordance. So now Aaron's into looking up by numbers and Greek and Hebrew, and he's been a real challenge lately. But no, it's saying I may not know Greek, but I can look it up. I may not know every word in the dictionary, but I can know where to look for it. And if we're going to use the weapon that God has given us, the word of God, we should have it accessible. We should be trying to understand it on a deeper level. We would say, well, I've used it this way in the past, but I'm going to study it, and I'm going to know for sure what I'm saying when I say the word of God. And God designed it that way. Submit yourselves. Resist the devil. The next one, draw near to God. 10 minutes. We're almost done. Draw near to God. The Bible says, draw near to God and draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And this is what I want to talk about, because the level that we resist the devil is the same level that we can draw near unto God. Again, we can't be neutral, and if we are resisting the devil, we can draw near to God, and the more we resist, the more we can draw near to God, nearer in understanding. We just talked about we can never exhaust the Word of God. You can never get too deep in the Word of God. You can always go back and say, I thought I got it, and Pastor says this many times. I've read the Bible so many times, and I never saw that verse before. Well, of course, he saw that verse before. He's read it so many times, but it never spoke to him in the way that it spoke to him that time. And you can't get too deep in God's Word. You can't get too close to God. We sing that song, draw me nearer, nearer to thy precious bleeding side. I can sing that as a 5-year-old and know that I need to get closer to God. And some of you can sing it as an 80-year-old and know that you're still not there yet. You still need to draw closer to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It describes an attraction that you take a step toward him, he takes a step toward you. You show that interest in godly things, and he brings himself closer to you. The Word of God and prayer are our biggest weapons against the devil. If we're supposed to resist him, we should know God's Word, and we should know how to get a hold of God, how to pray. The next verse says, verse 8, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The closer we get to God, the more we realize how filthy we are. I meant to get home today and take a shower and change my clothes. So nobody asked me for a hug today because I stink. It's been a long day. Everybody's been asking me why my hair is wet. Everything's wet. I'm soaked. I stink. I didn't get that chance to cleanse. But if I were to go home tonight and hang my clothes up, take off my t-shirt and everything and put them all on the shelf, and then tomorrow I get up, no bath, no shower, put on the same clothes again, I'm still going to stink. I'm not going to get, you know, kisses from my wife. My kids aren't going to be near me. It's not going to change just because some time has passed. There is a process that needs to take place before I don't stink anymore. I need to take a shower. I need to wash my clothes. And for us as Christians to say, all right, I put on the same vestige. I put on the same garments that I put on last week. I haven't acknowledged my sin. I haven't confessed my sin. I still stink as bad as I did before. And it shows. It smells. You can tell. And God says, if you're going to live in the world, if you're going to be, and we are living in the world, if you're going to live in this day and age, you're going to have to acknowledge that you're going to start to stink after a while, that you don't have to be in sin to smell like you've been around it. You know, there's going to be times where, like Pastor says, a bird can land on your head, but it doesn't have to make a nest. You're going to have to say, you know what, this thought came into my mind today. It's because I haven't drawn nigh to God. It's because I haven't rebuked the devil. And I'm not going to let that thought fester and then get up tomorrow and act like everything's okay. I need to confess that sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It'd be silly for me to say, tomorrow I'm going to wear the same thing and go out in public like this, and for all kinds of reasons. But it'd be just as silly for us as Christians to say, I don't need to cleanse my hands. I don't need to purify my heart. I'm okay. I'm good. And that's a daily thing, to say, I acknowledge where I failed. I need to cleanse, and I need to acknowledge. And again, we can only get clean by coming to God. It's not something that we can do on our own. I can't confess my sin to Adam, because Adam's going to say, well, that's not so bad. You're fine. You know, I can't confess my sin to myself. I got to confess my sin to the one that knows what is holy, what is right, like we talked about in Sunday school today. All right, so we read, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning about when we get ready to praise God, we need to acknowledge where God's word has convicted us, where we haven't heard it for a while, or where we haven't responded to it for a while. Sometimes we have an altar call. Maybe I talked too fast and you didn't understand anything I said, or maybe the sermon was about salvation and you're all good and saved, but you get a chance, an opportunity to go and yield yourself to God and say, you know what, I wasn't convicted about anything today. Nothing spoke to my heart. And because of that, I'm going to go forward and pray about it and say, God, I still want to make sure you know I'm listening. If there's something you want to convict me about, I'm still paying attention. And this verse says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. We do that so we can acknowledge where we failed, so we can do the very last point. I'll read them real quick. We'll review. Submit, resist the devil, draw nigh to God, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, be afflicted and mourn, so you can humble yourself. The last verse says, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. It parallels the verse, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. God's grace lifts us up. God's grace gives us the strength that we need. Notice that God doesn't say, pray that you'll be humble. Pray for humility. It just says to do it. There are some things as a Christian that we don't need to pray about. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Humble yourself. If I ask my kids to pick up their dirty clothes, put their toys away, and their answer is, Dad, I'm going to spend 30 minutes in prayer about that tonight. I will not go to sleep until I have prayed about what you've told me to do. That is not the response I want them to give me. I want them to say, I already did that. I want them to do what I told them to do. And God doesn't say, pray for humility. Pray that you're not proud and lifted up in your own spirit. No, he just says, humble yourself. Humble yourself and humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I wanted you to think about, I had a little illustration. I'll just talk about it for a second. I remember I was in elementary school. It was an exciting day for me because I was introduced to magnets. And they said, these are magnets. They had a horseshoe magnet, and they had the little disc magnets. And they said, and magnets have polarity. So, you know, opposites attract, and they have attraction. And if you turn them around the other way, they repel each other. They draw nigh, and they resist. And magnets have strength. You can have a really strong magnet that can influence another magnet and make it, for a momentary moment, it'll switch the north and the south poles. It'll make it start behaving in the other direction. And I thought, you mean there's this invisible force? It just blew my mind. There's this invisible force of attraction and resistance, and it's all contained in this little magnet. And I was thinking about that as Christians. The more that we draw nigh to God, that attraction, the more that we draw nigh to God, the more we can resist the devil. I had a little hobby project I was working on. I was trying to find some strong magnets, and I finally had to go to like three or four different stores, finally ended up at the hardware store, and the magnet that I needed had a warning label on it. It said, not for children, because it was a neodymium. It was a really strong magnet. It had a very strong attraction and very strong resistance, and it said, not for children. And I thought about us as Christians. You know, some of us, we can live our whole life like a refrigerator magnet, just barely hanging on. You put two pieces of paper underneath that thing, it's going to fall off. And there's no warning because we have very little power. You can change which direction we're facing, and it doesn't make a big difference. Or we can be a magnet that has a warning label on it that says there's some strength here. If you be careful how you use it. Strength in resistance. Strength in drawing nigh unto God. And again, that was a little challenge to say, I want to be the kind of Christian that comes with a warning label. That get out, if I'm getting to God, get out of my way. You don't want to get trapped between me and drawing nigh to God. If I'm resisting the devil, stay out of the way, because it's a strong force. It's a warning label. If that could be the warning label that we put on our life, that's how fast I draw nigh to God. That's how fast I resist the devil. So hopefully something I said touched your heart tonight, and you can say, you know what, I stink. I need to get out of these clothes and cleanse and realize who God is, submit to his authority, and resist the devil. And if not, some of you are the warning labels and the strong magnets that I look up to that are the example in my life. So I thank you. Thank you for that. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the grace to save us. Thank you for the grace that you give us each and every day just to represent you, to tell other people we're a Christian. Thank you for your love. Thank you for each example here tonight, Lord, that we need, sometimes we got to get out of the way and watch somebody draw nigh unto you, that there's nothing's going to stop them. And we got to get out of the way and watch somebody resist the devil. I pray, Lord, we'd be strong in both of those things. We wouldn't be moved, that we would resist the devil and draw nigh unto God. If there's something we need to get right tonight, I pray, Lord, you give us that opportunity to do that tonight. I ask you bless this invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.